Praise the Lord. We're reading the book of Jeremiah, if you'll look there with me tonight. I don't remember how many years ago it was, but it was a number of years ago that I was dealing with some situation that was big and seemed impossible. And the Lord gave me this verse of Scripture from Jeremiah 33 and verse 3. It's a familiar verse, but and I'd read it, I know, many, many times, but it became real to me. It became mine. Have you ever had that experience where some passage of Scripture, it was no longer just something that was on the pages of your Bible, but it became yours. It became a reality to you. Amen. Glory to God. And that happened to me, and I don't remember, it's been a good number of years ago, but I'd like to just speak to those of you here tonight who were weary with praying about impossible situations. And in your spirit, your spirit is deflated, and you are struggling in faith. You can't see. You know, you've prayed and you've prayed and you've prayed and you've prayed, and you still see no evidence. You don't even see a cloud the size of a man's hand. There's no evidence that God is moving in your situation. You've prayed about this a long, long time, and I just trust tonight that the word of the Lord will speak to your situation. And before I read, though, this text here in Jeremiah 33, I just want to talk a little bit about what Jeremiah's big responsibility and calling was. He was primarily a prophet to Judah that was in such a backslidden condition. They were so far away from God, and yet he was called of God to speak to them, and many of his words were words of judgment, words letting them know what was going to happen to them, the captivity and the troubles that they were going to experience because of their rebellion against God. It wasn't an easy job that Jeremiah was called to. It was a great task. And so all of the darkness that was in Judah, all of the backslidings that was in that nation, and yet he was called to speak to them. And every once in a while, of course, in the middle of all of the pronouncing of judgment and detailing their sins and their rebellions that he does in a few places in the Scripture and Jeremiah, there is this hope that comes out of the midst of the darkness. And that's what this verse is that I'm going to read to you, these first three verses in Jeremiah 33. But I just wanted to give you a little illustration if you'll turn back with me to Jeremiah 14. And this was Jeremiah prophesying concerning a dearth or a drought, a dryness, an emptiness, dark situation. He said, the word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah concerning the dearth. You look at the previous chapter, you see why that they're up against this time of famine. They're in this mess because of their sin against God, their rebellion against God. Verse 2, it says, Judah mourned, and the gates thereof languished. Judah is mourning. They're grieving over the circumstance that they are in. And it says that the gates languished. It's describing the situation in the city where the gates would usually be a place where all of this trafficking of goods and the crops, especially during the harvest time, that anyone around the gates would see all of this activity and the excitement that was always associated with the harvest time. And it was most evident at the gates where all of this traffic and all that was going on there. But it says they're languishing. Instead of being fruitfulness and rejoicing and the time of harvest because of the dearth or the famine, nothing's going on. It's nothing but blackness. darkness. It says they are black unto the ground, and the cry of Jerusalem is gone up. And verse 3 is the verse that it's so troubling. It says, and their nobles have sent their little ones to the waters. They came to the pits and found no water. They return with their vessels empty. Now, if you can get this mental picture, the nobles who normally had servants to do this kind of a work for them, but now they're in such a predicament of drought that they have no servants, they have no one. They send their children to go and to bring water, and the little children go to the pits. They come back with no water. They returned with their vessels empty. They were ashamed and confounded and covered their heads. So you can see that this drought situation and this judgment was so far-reaching that it was affecting even the little children. The families were affected by it. That's the way it is. Whenever there's a spiritual drought going on, everybody feels it. Everyone is affected by it. The older, the middle-aged, the younger. But it just breaks my heart to read a verse that says that the children, they go to get the water, and there's no water for them, and they come back empty-handed, and they're ashamed because they have not been able to bring water back. So you can get from that place, that this text here in Jeremiah 14, you can get a real vivid picture of the terrible predicament that Jeremiah was preaching to them. It was a bad situation. He preached to them and they didn't want to hear what he had to say. They didn't want to hear his words. So now let's look in 33, Jeremiah 33, verse 1. It says, Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison. Jeremiah is so despised and his message is so it's rejected to the point that he has been imprisoned. And he was for quite a long time in prison and confined because of his message, because of what he was trying to do, to speak to the people. So here is Jeremiah now. He's in prison. And he's there because he's just doing what God's called him to do, to preach to the people. They don't want to hear his words, and so they put him in jail. They confine him. But it says that the word of the Lord came to him there, even in that situation that he was in. The word of the Lord came there. Let me tell you, there's not any confinement, there's not any prison, there's not any situation that you may find yourself in where God can't get in there. Amen. There's no locks, there's no bars, there's no doors, there's no situation in your life but what God can't break into that situation. Amen. Amen. And no matter how bad it was for him, and it wasn't just for Jeremiah, but you see that was true of the Apostle Paul too, because even the writings that he was used of the Holy Spirit to write, even his prison epistles are some of the most encouraging words to the church. Out of the midst of your trouble and out of the midst of your situation, the Lord can speak right into the circumstance that you're in. So here's the picture. Here in Jeremiah 33, he's in prison for preaching the truth and trying to warn the people and help the people of Judah. They reject it and despise it. But even in the midst of that, his imprisonment, after all of this time, the Lord comes to him and speaks to him in the prison and gives him a word again for the people. That lets you know just how much that God cares about his people. And even his backsliding people, and even his rebellious people, those far away from God, he cares enough about them to send a word to them out of the midst of the darkness, out of the midst of the drought and the trouble and the judgment that was falling upon them. God was willing to speak to them. Now, it's verse 3 that I have held on to for a lot of years, but I really haven't paid that much attention to verse number 2. But let's look at this verse for just a moment. Thus saith the Lord. Here's the word of the Lord that came to him. Thus saith the Lord,
the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it. The Lord is his name. What's it talking about? The Lord, the maker of it, the Lord who formed it, and the Lord who established it. Amen. It's talking about the promise that I'm getting ready to read to you from verse number 3. And it's just to say, and this word came from God. He made it. He's the doer of it. He's the creator of it, who wants to restore Israel. He formed it, literally molded it and shaped it. It's all a part of his purpose for them if they will just listen to the voice of God and establish it. He will bring it to pass. He will execute it if you'll only believe what he has said. If you'll only take heed to the word of the Lord. And then here's a wonderful promise that came out of that. Now, I hope that it helps you, because you've read this verse like I have, no doubt, many times. But I hope that it helps you to see that this promise came out of nowhere. It didn't come because they deserved it. It didn't come because there was any evidence that they were turning away from God. It was just God saying, I want to help you. I will help you. Even in the midst of your sin and your rebellion and all that you're experiencing and going through, I want to help you. This is of God. He's the one that is the maker of it. He formed it and he will execute it. It's all from God. It's all the favor of God and the blessing of the Lord that's available to you if you'll just take hold and believe God for it. And then in verse 3, here's the promise. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Amen. Where did this promise come from? It came from God. Amen. He was the source of the promise. Now, we may not be experiencing the same type of things that Judah was experiencing, but you may be dealing with a situation in your life, a problem, a need, a burden, something that you've been praying about for a long, long time. There doesn't seem to be any way that it's going to be resolved. And it doesn't really matter. Maybe you got into this situation because of your own ill-doing, because of your own problem, your own willfulness or stubbornness. It doesn't really matter how that you got into the predicament that you're in here tonight. You may be totally to blame for it, and oftentimes we get ourselves in more messes ourselves, our own actions and our own willfulness. But it doesn't matter, because God spoke to Jeremiah. He's in prison for preaching the truth to them. And out of the midst of this, the word of the Lord comes to him to tell the people one more time. God has made a way. God has formed it. He has created an answer, a solution, and he will make it come to pass. He will execute it if you'll just believe the promise of God. So it has nothing to do with you deserving it. It has nothing to do with you meriting in any way the favor and the blessing of the Lord. It's just as simple as the promise of God that he was giving to those people through the prophet Jeremiah, which was just simply, call on me. Call on me. Call on me. That was the simplicity of this promise. Call on God. Call on the Lord. Call on the Lord. It's just like Peter, who stepped out of the boat and to walk on water, and he did for just a little while, but then his eyes got off of the Lord and he got to looking at the storm and the waters and the deep that he was going to sink into. And that's exactly what happened to him. And as he began to sink, what did he do? He just cried out, Lord, save me. Help me in this situation that I'm in. We know that the Lord did, lifting him up, pulled him up out of that circumstance that he was in. That is the simplicity of this word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah, that he was to pass along to a rebellious, stubborn group of a nation of people. If they'll just call on me. If they'll just call on me. If they'll just call on me. That's all they have to do. They just have to call my name. They just have to call on me. That's what. That's the simplicity of the answer, really, for many of our national ills here in the United States of America, a backslidden nation that's far removed from God. But if they would just, with their heart and with faith and confidence, just reach out again and begin to call on the Lord, I believe He would hear their cry. He'd hear the cry, and He'll hear your cry and mine. And it doesn't matter. You say, well, I have prayed and prayed and prayed about my circumstance or my need many, many times. But could you just, like I did some several years ago, could you get a hold of this promise with me here tonight? Get a hold of it and make it a personal thing for you. Call unto me and I will answer thee. Number one, it was a promise of a certain answer. When God says, all through the scripture, when God says, I will, then we know what that means. Amen. It doesn't matter what happens. When God says, if you'll call on me, that's the only condition. If you'll just turn your heart and your direction toward me, I will. It was a promise of a certain answer. It was really a pledge, a word from the Lord, a promise of God that if you will just call on me, then I will. It will be a certain, definite answer for you. Glory to God. I wonder if we have prayed, or maybe we've just complained a little bit more than we've prayed. Has our prayer been an expression of our faith in God and a confidence in His word and what He has promised that He will do? He said, I will answer you. Call on me. Call on the name of the Lord. Amen. Now this phrase here, to call upon the Lord, is really, it's really a cry. It's really a call with a great deal of intensity. Raising your voice and lifting up your voice and your faith and your confidence in the Lord, just like I said that Peter did. He wasn't being shy when he was sinking down into the depths of that water. He was saying, Lord, help me. Save me from the situation that I'm in. And that's the kind of call that I believe that the Lord wants us to involve ourselves in completely and entirely. With all of our heart, crying out to God, calling upon the name of the Lord. And He's promised a certain answer. I will, and I will perform that which I have promised to you. Amen. Secondly, I will answer thee. A personal answer. We generalize much of the time, don't we? We think about answers to prayer is, oh, the Lord's going to take care of our needs and the Lord's going to work in our situation. And we often don't even think about or even consider the fact that God is concerned about you. You, individually. He knows everything about you and every trial, trouble, worry, fear, everything that you're experiencing. And He's promised, I will answer you. Amen. And so He's promised a sure answer, a certain answer. And He's also promised a personal answer from the Lord. It's for you. Amen. It's for you. It's got your name on it. It's from the Lord. It's a word from the Lord that you need to cry out to God, and you need to continue to pray for that situation, that need, that thing that you're desiring. But you need to lift up your voice in faith to God and a newfound confidence and lay hold of the promise of God where He has promised, I will answer you. Amen. Your name is on it. It's an answer for you. Your situation, your trouble, your problem, what you're experiencing right now. Hallelujah. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee. Number three, a visible answer. God delights in showing Himself strong in such a way that you can see the hand of God. You know it's God. God has done it, like we've experienced with the testimony of Kay and her grandchild, this little baby, that the doctors had given all of this terrible report and how long, 3 months, that she would be in the hospital. possibly have to be in an induced coma for a long period of time because of the pain and the problems associated with a surgery that was literally recreating parts of her body. She was born with these deformities, but God is moved in such a mighty, wonderful way, and God delights in showing Himself strong in a visible way where there's no doubt that God did it. Amen. God is moved. God has worked in your behalf. Amen. Amen. And that brings about the testimony. Remember when we were talking just in the last couple of Sundays from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 6, talking about prayer, the threefold cord of prayer and fasting and giving. And let's read that verse once again. But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Amen. Glory to God. A demonstration, a mighty demonstration of the power of God to work in your situation, in your need. God delights in showing visible answers to prayer. Amen. Where you can see the hand of God at work in your need, in your situation. Remember Martha there in John chapter 11, when her brother Lazarus is dead and in the tomb, Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sisters of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. Amen. It was all a part of the plan of God. That Jesus didn't come when they asked him to come. He waited and delayed a couple of days. And he came. And Lazarus is already dead. They think he's too late. But no, he's not. He's perfectly on time. Because he wants to move in this situation in such a mighty way. That everyone that is there, they see the hand of God. And they see Lazarus come out of the tomb. Did not I promise you, Martha, that you would see the glory of God in this situation? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The promise of God is a certain answer, a personal answer, and a visible answer. God revealing Himself in our behalf and in our needs and our situations. You know, there's so many wonderful ways that God shows Himself strong in our behalf, and we need to trust God in our need, in our situation, and know that God can do it something mighty. Amen. And we'll see the hand of the Lord. We'll know that it's God. There'll be no doubt about it. Amen. It won't be, well, maybe the doctors along with God took care of this. No, God delights in doing things that doctors can't do, that no one else can do. He delights in doing the impossible. Amen. All things are possible to them that believe. Hallelujah. Amen. So let's look at a couple other things in this promise of God. The condition is just this. Believe the promise of God and call on God. Cry out to God. That's the only condition that's listed here. Because these people are rebellious. They don't deserve anything. But God says to Jeremiah, tell them, let them know, if they will call on me, I will answer. You don't have to have any question about it. I will answer. It will be a definite answer. It will be a personal answer. It will be a visible answer. I will answer thee. I will show thee great and mighty things. Glory to God. This is an interesting word. When you look this word up here, mighty, great and mighty things. It's a word that means inaccessible, fortified, fenced in, impossible. Amen. That's what God delights in doing. Impossible situations. You've got one of those kind of problems, or maybe more than one, in your own personal need, your own personal life, maybe in your business, maybe in your finances, maybe in your family, or whatever it is that you're dealing with. It's overwhelming. It's big, but God has promised, I will show thee great and mighty things. things that are inaccessible, things that are fortified, that you can't break through, you can't seem to get the answer. But God is promising, I will show you mighty things. Amen. So it'll be a mighty answer too. Amen. Glory to God. It'll be a sure answer, a personal answer. It will be a personal answer, and it will be an answer that is mighty, that breaks down strongholds and tears down every opposition, and will experience the hand of the Lord. You can find this same kind of wording in Genesis chapter 18. When the Bible says that the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh? You remember the story that Sarah overheard the promise of God that she was going to have a child. She's inside of the tent and she's laughing. I'm too old to have a child. This is not going to happen. This is impossible. And the Lord overheard or heard what she was saying. Whenever she was describing the impossibility of it, what was causing her to laugh. Verse 14, the Lord says, is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Amen. Impossible was written all over that situation, just as it seems to be over your trouble, your predicament, your problem that you're in. But I want to ask you tonight, would you lay hold of this promise? Lay hold on it. Make it yours. Make it personal. Make it real in your own life, in your own situation. One more thing. I will show thee great and mighty things, things that are impossible, inaccessible, fenced in, that God will break through for you. Amen. Which thou knowest not. That last phrase. Which thou knowest not. Beyond anything that you could ever imagine, beyond anything that you could ever dream of, that God says, I'll move in this impossible situation to such in such a way that the answer that comes will be an overwhelming answer. Hallelujah. Glory to God, which thou knowest not. You can't even dream it up. You can't even imagine. The Lord delights in answering prayers in ways that are not man's ways. They're not our ways. We kind of help God along sometimes and say, Lord, solve my problem and work this out, and here's how I want you to do it. But God delights in showing himself strong in mighty ways in our behalf, in ways that we could have never dreamed up. Amen. We could have never come up with it. It's beyond anything that we could ever ask or even dream of the way that God delights in working. You say, well, isn't this a wonderful promise for the people of God? No, this is a promise for a rebellious people. This is a promise for a stubborn people, for a people who refuse to hear. This is the second time that the Lord has come. And for all this span of time that Jeremiah has been imprisoned, this is a promise that came out of all of this darkness and all of this mess. Amen. So in case you're thinking, I'm not worthy, you know, God will never meet my need. I really don't deserve it. Do you think they deserved it? No. When you read on in the text and you read Jeremiah, you recognize that they never laid hold on this promise. They kept on going in their sin and their rebellion. But that didn't change the fact that God had laid out the promise for them. And it just simply said, you're a backslidden, rebellious nation, but if you'll just call on me, if you will just call on me, I'll answer you personally. I'll show you great and mighty things that you cannot even imagine. It will be a visible answer. It'll be obvious that it's the hand of the Lord. It'll be so wonderful that your mind could not even imagine how God could ever do it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I believe that we can lay hold of the promise of God here tonight. And I want to ask you here, this is just between you and the Lord. You don't have to give details of this, but if you're praying about some situation and it seems like that you're just not getting through and there's no evidence of an answer, I want you to stand up right now. Would you do that? You're praying about a situation, there's
There's a need, there's a problem, there's a whatever it might be. We're not going to go into all the detail of it. I'm not going to ask anyone to give details, but you need God to move for your situation. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory to God. Verse 2 says, God is the creator of this promise. Amen. He created it. He formed it. For his purpose is for your good, for God's best for you. God created this promise. He designed it for you and for your life, but he just simply is asking you, will you call on me? Will you ask me? Will you lift up your voice and call on me? And if you will, I'll answer you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't remember how many years ago it was that the Lord gave me this verse and gave me this the outline of this verse. I've preached this many times. I can't remember if I've preached it here or not, but probably 5 or 6 times that I have preached from that one verse of Scripture. The Lord just gave me that message. And it was at a time when I was just dealing with something that was just so, so difficult, so hard. Amen. But you know, I remember seeing the hand of God. I remember seeing God working in that situation. It took me by surprise the way he worked. Amen. It was just in ways that I could never have ever imagined that God would do it. But he did. But he did. Hallelujah. And I just believe for those of you that are standing here tonight that God wants to make this promise personal for you. Hallelujah. Lay hold of it. God created it and it's for us. It's for you. It's got your name on it. It's your problem. Your the answer to your problem and your need. But we need to cry out to God. We need to call upon the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And not just tonight, but tomorrow and the next coming days. Call upon the Lord. Amen. Call upon the Lord, just like Peter did as he was sinking in that water, and say, Lord, save me in this situation. Save me from my trouble. Answer this prayer for me. Rescue me, Lord, in this situation. Hallelujah. Amen. And I believe that the Lord will hear your cry. Amen. As you're desperate before the Lord, and the Lord will answer your prayer. Amen. Let's pray together right now. And I encourage everybody that's standing right now, let's take hold of the promise of God. And let's cry out to God and let's believe God to move in every one of these impossible situations. Would you pray with me now? Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Oh, Lord, we do believe your word. And we know that the promises of God, Lord, they are yea and amen. And Lord, big needs, great circumstances. Lord, in many cases, we're fenced in and we have no way, Lord, to break through it all. Lord, all around us, there seems to be no answer and no possible way, Lord. But Lord, we're crying out to you here today, Lord, because we know that you're a faithful God. And we lay hold on the promises of God. And we thank you, Lord, because you will show yourself strong in behalf of everyone that is reaching out in faith to you here today. Oh, God, you know the burdens represented here. You know the needs, Lord, and you can see our lives and you can see our circumstance. And we know, Lord, that you're the answer. You're the only answer, that there's no possible way, Lord, that these needs can ever resolve themselves. It's only going to be by your power and might. It's only, Lord, as you show yourself, Lord, strong and mighty, Lord, with a visible revelation of your mighty power. And Lord, that we'll see it. And it'll be obvious to all of us and to everyone around us, Lord, that it has been your mighty hand that has done it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, we glorify your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus. God, and we believe that your word is true and we stand upon it here today. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for moving. We thank you for working. And we're trusting you, Lord. God, to change these circumstances. Turn the tide, Lord. Glory to God. Lord God, break through, Lord, the barriers and the hindrances and all of the things that Satan has raised up, Lord, against our situations and our needs. Oh, God, I'm asking you to break through it. Do a mighty work. Great and mighty things, Lord. Do a work, Lord, far beyond anything that we could dream of, Lord. Hallelujah. And we'll give you glory. We'll give you the glory, Lord. Hallelujah. We'll give you the glory, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray. If we could, let's find a place and let's call upon the Lord before we leave this service here tonight. I encourage all of you that are standing and with needs, let's pray together and let's cry out to God. Let's call upon the Lord. In these next coming days, I believe that we're going to hear some testimonies of God's promises being fulfilled in our lives and God working in some supernatural ways that His name might be glorified. Praise the name of the Lord. Let's pray together here tonight. Hallelujah.